On May 1st, 2013, something significant happened in the life of the church. The Congregation for Divine Worship ratified something that Pope Benedict XVI had begun and Pope Francis approved, and that was to include Saint Joseph into all the Eucharistic prayers. You may have noticed that change. He's always paired with his spouse, Mary. You may not have. If you did, good for you. If you didn't, I don't think Saint Joseph would be too offended, because he's always behind the scenes. He's quiet, strong presence, doesn't draw attention to itself. And that's who he is. And today, on December 18th, as we are a week away from Christmas, the gospel speaks of Saint Joseph. And so I want to speak of Saint Joseph. Saint Joseph is many things in the church. He has some very good titles, strong titles. He's the universal protector of the church, the guardian of the church. He's also the guardian of the mysteries of the incarnation. Pray with that one, for that is a powerful thing. He guards the mother and the child. He's the most chaste spouse of the Blessed Virgin Mary. He's also, and this is one of my personal favorites, known as the terror of demons. St. John Paul II, he wrote a letter about St. Joseph called Redemptor Custos. And I'd encourage everyone, especially the men who are hearing this, to read that letter. St. Joseph is the model of what it means to be a Christian man, to respond in a masculine way to the divine initiative. And he's a great complement to Mary, who responds in a feminine way, with her feminine heart, to what the Lord wishes to accomplish. In that letter, St. John Paul II calls St. Joseph the master of the interior life. The master of the interior life. Why is St. Joseph the master of the interior life? Well, in the gospel today from Matthew, we see two things. First, St. Joseph is entirely and completely receptive to the divine initiative, to the divine plan announced by the angel Gabriel. And of course, we know the story. Joseph finds himself in a difficult situation, betrothed to his wife Mary, whom he loves, and yet she is with child, and he knows that that child is not his. So he doesn't know what to do. Joseph, however, is not wed to his own plan of action, but rather he's open. He's disposed to receive something new. And how that happens significantly in the scriptures is the angel comes and visits Joseph in his sleep. Sleep often in the scriptures is not a good thing. To slumber, to be drowsy in the spiritual life is often a result of sinfulness. But in Joseph's case, and this is what St. John Paul II points out, his heart is entirely disposed to receiving from the Lord new graces, new plans. And so in his sleep, his spirit is receptive. And it's in his dream that the angel Gabriel comes to him, speaks to him the divine plan. That receptivity is always at the heart of the Christian life. And that's why Joseph is such a beautiful complement to Mary. She who is fully receptive to the divine will finds a suitable partner in Saint Joseph, who is also receptive to the divine will. And yet, there's more, because to be a master of the interior life isn't just to receive, but it is also to put into practice. And that is Saint Joseph, a decisive man. Once he receives the divine initiative, he acts upon it. When he wakes up, he simply does what the angel has asked. He takes Mary into his home. He raises Jesus as if he were his own son. He says yes to the divine will. That is so crucial in our lives, to say yes, to put into practice what the Lord has given us. Joseph is an obedient heart. Obedience, obedire in Latin, means to listen to. And listening is much more than simply hearing. We can hear things, but not do anything about them. When we listen to someone, when we listen to God, we put into practice what we have received. And that is St. Joseph. And that is why he is the master of the interior life. Because the interior life is all about receiving and then acting. To receive deeply within the heart and then to put it into practice in life. St. Joseph is that model. He is that man who does that. And that's a huge blessing for us and a huge model for us. By the way, friends, let's not over-romanticize what goes on in the heart of St. Joseph. The angel Gabriel gave him precisely no details and no real explanation. Joseph was asked to say yes to something that was so far beyond his own comprehension. He bowed before the mystery. Also, Joseph was asked to lay down many desires of his own heart. Think for a moment about the birth of our Lord. Joseph, as a husband and as a first-time father-to-be, could not provide what I'm sure he thought was an adequate space for his wife and for the child who was coming into the world. All the inns were full. I'm sure Joseph lamented deeply that Mary had to travel as she was, and that she was being asked to give birth to our Lord in a cave. And yet Joseph laid that down. He sacrificed that desire of his heart so that the Lord could be born in the circumstances that he wanted, that the divine will could be done, which was certainly bigger and also better than anything that St. Joseph could have planned for Mary or for the child. What a model he is for us in these days before Christmas, to not cling to our own will, but rather to say yes to the divine will, to be truly obedient, receptive in our hearts, and decisive in our actions. We need more hearts like St. Joseph, don't we? We need our hearts to be more like St. Joseph, don't we? With his prayers, we can become more like him. Open, obedient, receptive, and active. St. Joseph, pray for us.